From our Philadelphia campus, you're listening to Help and Hope with CCEF. I'm Winston Smith, and recently Tim Lane sat down with us to discuss progressive sanctification and its relevance to biblical counseling.
A robust counseling, if you will, ministry in the life of the church is an incredible apologetic to a watching world. Paul says in Ephesians 5 that we're to live as children of light, and he uses this phrase, interesting phrase, he says, and expose the darkness. And when you look at the word expose there, it's not so much pointing a finger at the world saying, look how wrong you are. It really is the word persuade. So as you live as children of light, you live a persuasive lifestyle that gets the attention of the non-Christian. So here's a person who struggled with anger all their lives, and they come into the local church, and they're beginning to be slowly but progressively and dynamically changed because there's been something radically new that this person has heard, namely the gospel, God's redeeming work in Christ. And his non-Christian co-worker notices all of a sudden he's living a lifestyle that's persuasive, and the non-Christian is starting to ask questions. What changed you? So when you think about a rich counseling ministry in the life of the church, it has wonderful evangelistic implications as we live life in the culture and as we persuade others of the truth of the gospel. Progressive sanctification is simply the understanding that growth in grace is a process that takes place over a lifetime. There may be growth spurts that we might experience. Someone might be miraculously delivered from an addiction to drugs, and that does happen. Someone might be delivered in a short period of time from a dominating enslavement to anger or sexual lust, and we're thankful for those, and we don't want to minimize those or downplay them. But by and large, what we're saying when we use the word progressive in front of the word sanctification is that most of the time change is very, very slow, takes place over a long period of time, and it requires a lot of effort that is, of course, given to you by the work of the Spirit. But we're participants, and it's a fight. J.C. Ryle was a bishop in the 19th century in England, and he said, here are two marks of the Christian. If someone is a Christian, you'll notice there's a new peace in this person's life. But then he goes on to say, there's this new fight. And I think those are accurate ways of thinking about what the gospel does to us. It brings this new peace because we have peace with God. We're free from our guilt and condemnation. But now there's this new fight because of the work of the Spirit in us to see remaining sin completely destroyed. And we know in this life it won't, but there's still that eagerness to fight against sin in us. The word ecclesiology simply is your doctrine of the church. It's from the Greek word ecclesia. And so when I use that word, I'm simply saying, you know, what should the church look like? What's its primary function and goal? And what I'm saying is at the center of the way you think about life in the church is a focus on the centrality of Christ, transforming people so that they can more ably serve the world. What a rich progressive sanctification doctrine does to your ecclesiology is it has the ability to change your perspective of the church from being a country club to being a hospital. If you think of a country club, you know, it's where everybody is socially well adjusted and they're there because they've been successful. So if somebody shows up on, you know, the 18th green on a gurney with an IV in them, people are saying, what are you doing here? This isn't where we, you know, help people who are hurting. This is where people who have got it all together show up. But a progressive sanctification model changes your view of the church. It changes it more in the direction of a hospital. You expect to find hurting, broken people who, it's a medical or physical metaphor, but it gets at our spiritual condition. We're broken people, and the first place that we should show up is the church. One of the implications of a doctrine of progressive sanctification that changes slow over time and has to be connected to Christ is something I think that uniquely shapes the way we think about counseling. And counseling or one-on-one discipleship or relationships in general are to be handled with great care, and we're also to be incredibly patient, because we all are in process. And if change is slow, then I don't get discouraged when I see that it's not as fast as I would like in my life or the life of another. And I'm not easily duped into thinking that, oh, all of a sudden this person is completely free of this just because they experience a growth spurt. I want to be careful that I'm not duped by either. And so progressive sanctification, I think, just keeps you even keel, gives you some equilibrium. I'm hopeful when they're struggling, and I'm realistic when they're, you know, experiencing, if you will, some level of victory in this area of their life, because I know that the remnants of sin are still there, and they're going to struggle probably again sometime soon. Does that help?
That's great. Yeah.
The other thing I would say is your counseling theory and methodology not only grow out of your doctrine of who God is. And that's very, very important. That's primary. Who is God? And our understanding, He's a God who pays attention to people who are suffering. In fact, He's a God Himself who suffers. But He's a God of redeeming grace and a God of sustaining grace. He perseveres with you. And our counseling theory grows out of the fact that God is a personal God. So if change is going to happen, it's not going to be by me tweaking my behavior or even by changing my cognition, you know, by replacing bad stuff or bad lies with good truth. Christian change is certainly not less than that. It's not less than behavioral or less than cognitive, but it's so much more. Real Christian change is relational. That there's something profound has happened in my relationship with God. And it also is connected to your doctrine or the way that you understand who people are. Who are people fundamentally? And we would say that fundamentally what defines us as people is that we are worshipers. And we'll either engage in false worship or true worship of the true and living God. And so counseling has to address the motivational issues behind the behavioral things. So you've got to get at the core of who the person is, and only the scriptures say that they can do that. Hebrews 4 talks about the message of scripture, which is pointing us to Christ, is the only thing that can really get down to the thoughts and motivations of the human heart and radically change someone at that deepest level. I wish the application in my life was more consistent than everything I've said heretofore. That's why I like the progressive aspect of progressive sanctification, because if you were to watch me throughout any given week, you would see marks of the Spirit in my life, and you would see the vestiges, the powerful vestiges of remaining sin playing out in my life in very simple ways. An attitude that I might develop about someone because of what they said, a harsh or impatient word to my wife or my kids, worry, you know, just all the normal kinds of struggles and temptations. And what has been helpful for me is one to recognize that it's a process, and that I'm going to continue to struggle and fail. I mean, I'm a Calvinist, and I can say with confidence that we're going to fail, because I believe in the reality of sin. And while sin no longer dominates us, and while we're no longer defined by our sinful nature, we're defined by who we are in Christ. A remaining sin still has this inexorable kind of weight and pull on us that we fight against daily. And I fight against it particularly as I struggle with my love for comfort. I use this a lot of times, and how oftentimes I can get hijacked by a love for comfort more than a love for Christ. I can be more intoxicated by or enamored with comfort, temporal comfort in the moment. I just want to get some R&R and channel surf, and what Christ is calling me to. And it shows up, you know, in my relationship, particularly with my kids, but it could show up anywhere. If I'm bent on comfort and that's what I want in that moment, and my kids come in and they interrupt me, I can get irritated and angry. And so in that moment, I see my ongoing need of the gospel, and I have to see Christ's great and saving work for me, so that in that moment, I can fight against the temptation to worship comfort and worship Christ. And then as my kids interrupt or cross my path, to respond with patience and grace. And that's a struggle for me. You know, it's hard. It's hard work. And there are times when I'm discouraged because I don't see the kind of change I'd like to see. But I'm ultimately hopeful because I know that, you know, the fact that I'm aware that I'm struggling is a sign of God's grace and work in me.
Thanks for listening. Support for CCEF podcasts come from friends like you. More information about our counseling, resources, training, and events are available at ccef.org.